This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, and we're going to talk auto racing today as we do each week with Rod Mullins. He's our racing reporter, and I mean that literally. We'll talk about that a little later on as he recounts to us his experience in the Thunder Valley Media Challenge, drag racing on behalf of AFP, defending our honor. But first, Rod, let's talk. Let's recap NASCAR. The race in Michigan this past weekend, Clint Bowyer picked up the win, shortened event. Take us through that, and it just seems like NASCAR can't get around weather being an issue. It's been the case really, off and on all season long.
Yeah, there was about a 2-hour delay with this race, Chris, and 2 hours and a half. But when they finally got on the track, they were able to get some, get the laps in what they needed and get to at least the halfway point. That's what they wanted to do. They, the rain had soaked the track. They called the race after 133 of the scheduled 200 laps. So, they had made it past the halfway point there on the 2-mile track. But for a lot of drivers, Michigan just didn't work out for them the way that they were planning. It did work out for Clint Bowyer, though. Clint Bowyer, of course, ended up winning the race. He gambled. Of course, when they called the race there at lap 133 of the 200, he had only taken on two sets of tires. That set him up just perfectly at the end of right there at the end of stage two, or toward the end of stage two, to where he could pull off that win for Stewart Haas Racing. And it was a big win for him. It's his second so far on the season. Of course, Martinsville being the last one, and he's kind of broke out of his slump. And now with this race, he is ready to take a weekend off for Father's Day, and then with that coming up, and then he'll be turning around and going to Sonoma, which he says Sonoma is one of his best tracks that he loves to race on of the road courses. So we're starting to see this. We first started seeing the Gibbs cars dominating here at first, and then we started seeing here now Stewart Haas is starting to dominate a little bit more. Kevin Harvick had won some races, but now you've got some of these other drivers in the stable at Stewart Haas that have started making some noise as well. And Clint Bowyer is one of them. But I think you saw a lot of things happen this past weekend at the race at Michigan. Kyle Larson, again, was in very good position, loses control of his car, goes flying into the infield through the grass, and he was not much of a factor after that whatsoever in the race. He was hoping for a fourth straight victory with this race, and on lap 85, turn four, he skidded into the infield, damaged the front splitter of the car. He limped home, got a 28th place finish, but it ended a personal string of four straight top 10 finishes for Kyle Larson and Chip Ganassi, so that kind of hurt in there. Another thing was Kyle Busch didn't have really that good of a race, and he spent a lot of time having to fight off, of all people, Joey Logano. And Joey Logano and him, they were tapping each other out on the track, and Kyle Busch was quoted on the radio as saying, if he taps me one more time, I'm going to show him what I can do with this car. So the tension there was between those two, and not only those two, but between Austin Dillon and Ricky Stenhouse. And Austin Dillon was very upset with the way Ricky Stenhouse was racing. So you had a Chevy and a Ford there competing for position. And so there were a lot of tempers flaring. Even though the weather may have dampened some things up there in Michigan this past weekend, you still had some tempers flaring. But Clint Bowyer, he came away the lucky dog out of this whole thing. He went to the race, and he needed that too, especially for the kind of season he's been having up and down, especially since Martinsville.
I was going to ask you more about the weather. NASCAR is on a good weather day, is as much or maybe even more about the strategy as it is about the hard racing. I mean, it's the driver and the crew chief and the spotters communicating and, adjusting on the fly as circumstances warrant. And so you talk about the 2-hour rain delay at the start. There's weather issues. There's going to be weather issues throughout the race. So, and NASCAR is unique too. The only other sport I can think of is baseball, where an event can be shortened. You can play 5 innings of a baseball game, game's over if it's official and there's a team ahead and there's weather. And NASCAR, same way. You get 100 laps plus one, or 50% of your laps plus one, and you've got an official race. So how much did was Clint Bowyer's win about good strategy during the race? He talked about taking the two tires at the end and kind of gambling there, but You know, did he out-strategize? Did somebody else maybe misread that and maybe, you know, do too much and think the race was going to go longer? I mean, just talk to us about the weather strategy and how the various players played it.
Well, I think a lot of these teams, when they start getting the first hint from the spotter or someone, or they're listening to the NASCAR frequency, and they find out that there is weather coming in, that when you go into the pits, a lot of the teams already have monitors set up inside the pits, and their little crash wagon that they've got for everything. And that's where the pit crew chiefs, they sit on top of that. Of course, they watch and kind of see what's going on the track. But they're also watching things having to do with the weather, too. And then they get the official nod from NASCAR as to what's going on. And the spotters are usually the first ones that's going to be able to get it because, hey, they're kind of top everything, and they're up there. And especially when you're on a big track, especially a 2 or 2.5 mile track, it can be raining on one end of the track, and it can be dry as it can be over on the other side of the track. It's just the way that these tracks are set up or the way that they are laid out and the way the weather comes in. But NASCAR pays attention to this weather. They look at it. They carefully look at it. They've not been on par with some things here in the past couple of years, but generally when it comes to their weather forecast and how they're predicting, they know they can say on the radio to the drivers or to the crew chiefs, hey, we've got weather coming in. And when they sense that, or at least if the driver picks up a raindrop or two, that's when they start getting a little bit more aggressive because they know they want to be in a good position before the end of the race, or at least the call of the race, if they go to a red flag, they want to be in a good position. And for Clint Bowyer, I don't think he was really racing away and running away from the entire crowd like Kyle Busch has done here, but it just happened to be one of those lucky breaks for him, sort of the same way Eric Almirola did here a couple of years ago, or at least about 2 years ago when he was racing with Richard Petty. He picked up a win there, but the thing was, he was a lucky dog. He was in the right place at the right time, and that's what some of these drivers are going to launch for. They're going to try to go for that the best way they can.
So you talked about Sonoma is the next race weekend off. Then we go to Sonoma. I'm going to ask an uneducated question, and I hope I get a answer that's much more deserving than my question. But so there's a week off, then Sonoma. So going from, you know, traditional NASCAR racing to a road course, is that week off? I mean, is it coincidental, or is it intentional to give the drivers and teams sort of a week to sort of adjust to what's going to be a very different race for them?
Well, it's one of those things of where it's a chance to give them a little bit of a breather, but it's also a chance for the teams to be able to get themselves packed up and be able to have everything ready to go to California when they have to. That's what they've tried to, or at least planned to do here over the last few years. You know, the big thing used to be, and I don't know if they really are sticking to it now as they used to, but NASCAR's rule used to be you had to always take off on Mother's Day. You didn't race on Mother's Day whatsoever because the old saying was we don't want to have to go and race on Mother's Day and then somebody get killed and then turn around and be mourning on Monday. They didn't want anything like that. Well, with Father's Day, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that kind of hits in the way the schedule is kind of has materialized and the way it's put everything in front of them. They go and they have an extra week to at least get back to the track after this past weekend. They go get to the track, or get to the shop, I should say, set everything up, get things what they need, get their car ready, and make sure that road course car is ready, and then they make their trek across, and they usually get there at least a good 3 or 4 days, about 4 days maybe, before the race actually starts, and they have a chance to do promotional things out there on the coast and different things because they've really picked up some fans out there in wine country. And then, of course, Richard Childress has got a vineyard himself, I think, in North Carolina, and he's selling wine now. So you kind of got at least a little bit of a tie-in there. So they're spending a little bit more of their time out in California for promotional things and all getting ready for the start of that road course. But, you know, this is the first of what's going to be, technically, I call 3 road courses on the season. This is the first one out in California. They'll race their second one at the Watkins Glen. And the third one will technically not be a road course per se, but it will be the famous Roval that we probably told you about back in February that Charlotte Motor Speedway is going to be setting up. And there's some of those teams that's going to have to do some practice here, and they're going to give them a chance to practice down at Charlotte here soon to get ready for the Roval. So that's another thing, too, some of those teams might be doing. They might be using some practice time, maybe go out and practice and work on the Roval a little bit at Charlotte if they get that chance. Some of them will be taking off and going to California and catching up with the rest of the team for the next week.
So we could talk more about this next week, but early thoughts. Now, you mentioned it's the first road race of the season, but maybe looking traditionally at the past few years, what drivers, what teams would you think, you know, here we are a week and a half out, would you think might, you know, be sort of having an advantage heading into race week at Sonoma?
Well, I definitely have an advantage to Boyer there because, excuse me, Boyer is, he's really done well on the road course. Kevin Harvick, California native, he's ran the road course before. He likes the road course. So the Stewart Haas team, Tony Stewart liked the road course. And so I'm sure that this Stewart Haas racing team, Kurt Busch likes it. Stewart Haas will probably be all ready and prepared and everything to head out for this one. I've got to give at least a little bit of a nod in there to the Stewart Haas drivers because they seem to have the momentum right now. Boyer said again, this was one of his favorite tracks. When he goes to a road course, this is one of his favorite tracks. You've got some others in there, too. You've got your Chase Elliott. You've got Bubba Wallace. You've got some others. Denny Hamlin races good at a road course. But there are a lot of things that can happen on a road course, and, you know, you're talking about the stretch of, what, something like 60, 70-some laps, and, you know, you're going over different kind of terrain and different things, and then you never know when you're going to get a tire off on the edge of the course. It can flip you around, send you spinning around, and then your day is done. It's one of those weird courses. It's a great course to watch if you like road courses. Most of the time you spin with a left foot over on the brake and a right foot over on the gas, and you're just kind of combining between the two. And then sometimes Ricky Rudd, Virginia driver from Chesapeake, Virginia, he used to go and be able to take and put his left foot and split it between the clutch and the brake itself. And, you know, I know some people are probably wondering, what's a clutch anymore? Because you don't have that much of a clutch in cars, but some of these race cars, that's what they do about gearing and so forth. And Ricky Rudd would ride a little bit on the clutch and keep his foot on the brake, and he would press down on that accelerator with his right foot and keep it going. Some of these drivers have a certain technique to that, and so we'll see a lot of different techniques coming up with that. One person I don't want to rule out of this, A.J. Allmendinger. He loves a road course. He's been strong in a road course when he ran in some of the early series before he came over to NASCAR. He loves a road course. And Allmendinger almost pulled off a win here several years ago at one of the road courses. Came very close. Had some bad luck happen to him. So you got a lot of drivers in there that's looking forward to this road course. And they use that as a chance to kind of let it all hang out and just put the pedal to the metal and go.
We'll talk more about Sonoma next week. I'm a fan of the road course races. My grandfather is from Pennsylvania. He would always make sure we'd sit down and watch the Watkins Glen race. So I got an appreciation for those races from back in childhood. Now we'll switch gears, switch from the laps to the straight line racing. Let's talk first. Now we have an NHRA event, of course, coming up this weekend in Bristol, the Fitzgerald USA Thunder Valley Nationals. Also, the NHRA was in Virginia this past weekend, Virginia Raceway Park. I flipped on the TV some this weekend and caught some of that action. But also last week, you got to get in a race car. You got to get in a drag race car, the Thunder Valley Media Challenge. So let's start there, Rod. Take us into the Thunder Valley Media Challenge and take us down the track with you.
Well, the Thunder Valley Media Challenge brings together all of the local and regional media representatives, myself included, and the TV stations, and we all get together, and what we do, they give us a little bit of food, they feed us, and then we have a chance to be able to sit down and talk with drivers, as we did this past time. We ended up talking to J.R. Todd, who drives Funny Car, and then also Alex Laughlin. And we had a chance to talk to them, get an interview out of them, what they expect for coming up for Bristol and so forth. And then they turn us loose out onto Thunder Valley itself. And when they turn us out onto Thunder Valley, they put us there. And we were in Camaros last year. This year we were in high-powered Impalas, but you couldn't tell my foot that because my foot, I would go to the floorboard and I just wasn't getting enough speed like I got last year out of the Camaros. They're a great car, the Impala, but it just didn't have the speed and the takeoff that I was used to last year with the Camaros. But we had a lot of fun. We ended up going against some of these seasoned veterans, and I say that very nicely, seasoned veterans, because they get out there, and some of these guys with the TV station, especially the winner, overall winner of the media bragging rights this year, BJ Johnson with WCYV, I mean, he goes for blood. That's all there is to it. He goes for blood. I was just lucky that I drew number one, and when I drew number one, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, it could be worse. I could be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, or I could be the number one seed like UVA was against University of Maryland, the team up there this past year, and losing in the first round. And, well, that's what I did. I just could not get used to the car. I lost in the first round, but it was a very heated race all the way down to the very end.
So, that's an experience. I mean, you know, you get the chance to see what it's like for the drivers. I mean, to some degree, obviously, they're more experienced and, you know, they drive all the time, that kind of thing. But you get a glimpse of it, and I'm sure, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if this doesn't, like, sort of impact your reporting, that just the fact that, you know, even just this year, just for one race, I know last year you went further, but, you know, you get to experience the forces and, you know, having to shift gears and the Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's got to have an impact. When you're writing a story, just that sort of inside knowledge you're able to gain being behind the car, being behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah, it does. It gives me a little bit more of a background or a little bit more experience as to what they're going to be facing. And, you know, you're in a controlled car, especially in that Camaro or especially in an Impala. You're in a controlled car that is, well, I can say in some respects, computer controlled to a certain degree, the way the engine's going to run and the way that it comes off of the way that they bring it from the dealership, and you're able to get out there on the track with it. But when you get these guys like John Force and then his daughter Courtney Force, Ron Capps, Antron Brown, some of these other drivers, Clay Milliken, for example, Steve Torrence, each one of these cars are set up so differently, but they are all geared for speed. And, I mean, when you start seeing some of the speeds put up in, you know, a dash down just for, you know, a short distance, and you see the speed that they're accelerating up, it kind of reminds me of the commercials that they've been running down here in this market for the Thunder Valley Nationals. And you have so much G-force that's throwing you back in that car seat. It's like taking off on a rocket from Kennedy Space Center. I mean, it's got that much gravity, that much force is throwing you back. And if anybody has been watching some of these races off and on through Fox Sports 1 and seen the cuts to the end of the race and so forth, or the condensed versions, they've seen some exciting racing so far this season. You've had a lot of cars blow up. John Force has had at least three or four breakups of his car. His car has gone kablooey, I'll say it that way, about three or four times. Matt Hagen's entire frame, his body that sat over top of his frame, went airborne at a race, went airborne and came back down in just a few seconds right after he had got underneath and the thing had shot up. We're in a little bit more controlled conditions in that race, but I'm telling you, once you see that, and then you go back and you cover it again for the first time, or being able to see it like I did last year. That was my first race. It really blew me away. I was just impressed thoroughly with how these guys could drive a car at sometimes 285 to 300 miles an hour down the middle of Thunder Valley. And it amazed me. And it also told me, too, I don't know if I want to really go that fast, but still, it's fun doing it in a little bit of a controlled situation.
So let's recap Virginia Raceway Park from this past weekend, and maybe also at the same time look ahead. You know, what storylines maybe go from Virginia Raceway Park to Thunder Valley, you know, as NHRA makes its swing through Virginia. Take us through that, Rod.
Well, you know, this past weekend, Steve Torrence, Courtney Force, Tanner Gray, and Ellie Tonglet, they all won in their respective categories. Torrence won in the funny car, Tanner Gray won in the pro stock, and then, of course, Courtney Force beat out her own dad. She beat her dad out with a 4.039 second pass at 321 miles an hour in her Camaro, and she took out her dad in the final round on Sunday, and that was a big win for her. John Force is still looking for a big win. He would like nothing more than to get some get on that podium there at the end of the race on Sunday for all of the heat races and so forth. He wants to be on that podium. You know, Cameron Gray came away with a big win this past weekend, and at one time, you know, Alex Laughlin was under the same garage roof as Tanner Gray, and so for Tanner Gray to come away with the win at Virginia Motorsports Park this past weekend was big. Alex Laughlin was really not, I don't think he was really too concerned about the race this weekend coming up in Richmond, because he said, you know, this is the first time that we've traveled to a track like this. There's going to be a lot of things that they have to learn, but I will tell you, some of the drivers that came away from Virginia Motorsports Park this past weekend, they were very impressed with what the gang had done up there since the track had been bought, and they said it was probably one of the smoothest surfaces that they've been on. Mostly it had a lot to do with the fact that the track's concrete, and that helped a lot, and they had it down just right. They said it's probably one of the smoother tracks that they had been on the season, and so they had a great turnout up there at Virginia Motorsports Park. If I'm not mistaken, Chris, I think they were sold out on Saturday. I don't know about Sunday, but they said it was almost standing room only on Saturday for the second round of qualifying and getting into the finals for Sunday.
So what's the schedule for this weekend? I know you'll be on hand for us reporting back for AFP. We'll have stories coming all weekend long from this, but take us through the schedule for this weekend.
Well, the schedule for this weekend coming up at Bristol will pretty much be, there's a lot of qualifying and a lot of prelim things going up on Friday. As the gates will open up at 9 o'clock on Friday, you have Sportsman's qualifying. Then you'll get into the factory stock showdown qualifying, Nitro Harley qualifying, which includes the motorcycles, then the Pro Mod qualifying, Pro Stock, and then Nitro qualifying for the Putty Car and Top Fuel at around 5 o'clock. That'll go all the way up until about 8 o'clock in the evening. And then on Saturday, the gates open back up again. You'll have Sportsman's Eliminations. You'll have some more qualifying in there that kind of whittles down all of the other parties that's involved in that. That'll run until probably about 4 o'clock and then probably end at about 5:30. Then on Sunday, the gates open at 8:30. They have a traditional track walk at Bristol Dragway of where the fans and the drivers will all get together. They walk down the track and they do that and they come back up. Then the pre-race ceremonies begin at 11 o'clock and then the eliminations start at 12 noon from Bristol Dragway. So it's going to be a great event. They've got sponsorship this year with Fitzgerald USA, who has helped sponsor the Xfinity race at Bristol Motor Speedway, and they're also sponsoring Alex Laughlin. So they picked up a really good sponsor this year at Fitzgerald USA. They are the ones that make those glider kits for your semi trucks you can see going down the highway. And they do customizing for these semis. So there'll be a big crowd there, I'm sure. And then, of course, it's Father's Day weekend. Last year, it was full. It was a great event all the way around. And so this year, they've got some sponsorship. All these drivers are going to be coming down again. It'll be a great event.
And so for our listeners out there, of course, Rod will have recaps. He'll have feature stories, interviews with the drivers all weekend long. And then if you want to watch, like I got to tune in for some of last weekend's racing, FS1 and FS2. Check your channel listings. FS1, FS2 will have kind of alternate back and forth all weekend long. So a chance to watch it live, and then you can come to AFP and you can hear what the winners and the runners up have to say about what happens this weekend in Bristol. Well, Rod, enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.